I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.
This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
Hey, this is Michael Harlan Turkel from the Food Scene on Heritage Radio Network. I've been with the station for over 8 years, 350 shows, and it is the most consistent thing in my life. Every Tuesday at 3, I know to be here in studio, but I also get the privilege of meeting such amazing people, artists, artisans within the industry. Get to learn a new factoid, a new way of life from these wonderful people. And I hope you do too by listening and that you donate to our summer drive. Just go to heritageradionetwork.org/donate and click on the beating heart. And we'd even appreciate monthly recurring donations to any show on the network you could designate to the food scene, the speakeasy, and that many more.
Murder!
Ah, say those words. Say those words. We're back.
Summer fun drive.
This is it. The countdown begins. Five more shows. This is episode 246.
Don't say that, Mike. I'm just getting comfortable.
By popular demand, we're done.
I can walk in here and feel like, you know, I'm like in my 60s, and I'm still nervous when I walk into a bar.
You scared away people at the awkward
dinner. Yeah, what happened? That was very awkward.
It was very awkward. It was like, what was like the boy, like the porno category, my friend's hot mom. They it was weird. Whatever the dynamic there was very weird. At the day table there.
Maybe they just the kid is starting college.
It's been a while since we've done a porn show and talked about like top porn topics.
Well,
but my friend's hot mom is like number three of most searched things in Pornhub or something. Incidentally,
definitely number one.
Matt says definitely number one.
Most searched at the TSA.
It surpassed MILF. Our
piano player
is that I'm so old that all my older women fantasies are about women half my age. At this point, that's how far along we've gotten. Anyway, we're back. It's Arts and Seizures. Mike Edison here.
We're back and we're proud.
With the monster from Maspeth, everybody's favorite pizza Remba, and we're joined in the studio today with superstar, powerhouse, motherfucking pitbull lawyer of the very famous law firm Crosby, Stills, Nash, Young, Carlos, Palmer, Emerson, Hunga Dunga, Sacco, and Vanzetti. It's our friend.
And Unga Bunga.
And Hunga Dunga. I forget a Hunga Dunga?
Hunga Dunga.
our good friend Blaine Bortnick, who has kept me out of jail successfully. No joke.
Thank you very much.
For the last 30 minutes. and I expect you to keep me out of jail for the next 30 minutes. And also, by the time the show is over, I want to own the Heritage Radio Network.
Well, as far as jail goes, I locked the door, so don't worry.
There you go.
At least for 30 minutes.
This is your kind of lawyer. This is the kind of guy who gets you out first and asks questions later.
I like that. Out before you get in.
It's a better way.
You have your hands full with this guy, though. I mean, quite frankly, if I was his lawyer, I would recommend the stiffest sentence possible.
Well, it's really, usually a stiff drink, but that's another category altogether.
Let me tell you the fact that I knock on wood when I say shit like this. I've never been arrested, by the way.
Really? That's amazing.
Of all the government oversight you can imagine, this is like obviously somehow I fell through the cracks and have never been handcuffed against my will.
Gee, Mike, I feel
well,
you would have
missed. You've missed a real life experience there then.
I'm still young, Blaine.
You should check it out inside sometime.
Have you spent the night in the Huskow, Pete?
Let's just say you should check it out sometime. check out the food.
Is that where you met your wife? What's your prison story? Papillon?
Let's just say, look, a lawyer walks into the... No.
Yeah, let's hear it. A lawyer.
No. I thought you had one. I don't have a lawyer joke. But this guy walks into a bar, right, and he's got his pet alligator on a leash, and he goes to the bartender. He says, "Listen, do you serve lawyers here?" And the bartender says, "Sure." So the guy goes, "Okay, good. Give me a martini and give my alligator a lawyer."
Wow, it's a good thing we only got 5 shows left.
I know. I refuse to trigger the applause for that.
That's a good joke.
Five shows left, and the engineer suddenly got some attitude.
I'm walking.
Can we sue the engineer for his attitude?
He's surly and he's being rebellious.
He hurt my feelings.
Well, I think it depends on who the intended audience is. In your case, I think maybe a medal might be a more appropriate.
You know what? Let's just say congratulations to all our French listeners. They won the Super Bowl today against the Croatians.
You nailed it.
You nailed it. But the Croatians, I have to say, they should be thanking them. They gave them one goal and then a penalty. So otherwise, it would
How'd the Americans do in this tournament?
They did great. They didn't show up. But
they didn't lose?
They didn't lose. They were great. But anyway, all our French listeners, really, Allez France and all that stuff.
I have watched exactly 0 seconds of the World Cup.
You know what? We were watching a lot of Wimbledon. And John McEnroe, who's doing ex-heel, now a commentator, he made a very interesting reference to a guy. He was commenting on the match, and then he goes, "Oh, it looks like whoever it was is finally waking up from the sleeper hold." And I like that.
McEnroe made a wrestling reference.
He sure did. A pro wrestling.
Well, he was a heel.
He was a heel, and he was a kid from Queens. So. And it made me...
He may have actually shown up at a WrestleMania. Someone, maybe Matt, you can look that up. I think John McEnroe was like a WrestleMania guest walk-on
now,
at one point.
Now, for extra credit, Mike, a variation on the sleeper hold, right? The Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, what was his coup de grace variation on the sleeper hold? Quick, for 10... For
wow, hit, what was Ted DiBiase?
The Million Dollar Man, his variation on the sleeper hold, his coup de grace, the studio audience, okay, the people have their hands up. Okay, give me a bell, Matt. Time is up. There we go. It was the Million Dollar Dream.
Ah, the Million Dollar Dream.
And Virgil, his lackey, would shove a $100 bill into the sap's open gaping mouth.
It's kind of like leaving pennies in the eyes.
Oh, gosh, yeah. $100 bill right in the guy's mouth, and they'd walk out of the ring.
Speaking of sleeper hold variations, our friend CM Punk, former WWE champion CM Punk, his variation of the sleeper hold was something called the go to sleep. And then a pizza place, Ian's Pizza in Chicago, actually made a pizza called the Go to Sleep, which was turkey hollandaise sauce. I think there may have even been
Chicago.
Yeah,
Chicago pizza is bad enough. I'll say it right now.
It might have even been like opiates on the Go to Sleep pizza.
Maybe it improved.
But the idea was like, there's no way you could possibly eat this and like, you know, keep your eyes open.
We're making a record.
It was just pumped full of MSG and tryptophan.
Yeah. There you go. I think we got a case there. We were making a record with what's his name out in Chicago, and
is this your Steve Albini story?
Albini, yeah.
This is when you were in the Pixies. We discussed.
Oh yeah,
this.
And he's talking about how great the Chicago pizza. Oh, you gotta have it, right? So finally, go okay. What is this pie? It came in an envelope, a giant paper envelope. It was stapled, and then it was a round pizza, and they cut it. They don't even care. They cut it in these little tiny squares, and it's a round pizza. And on top of that, it wasn't any good. So
and such small portions.
Okay.
All right, I'll tell you what. We came here today with the
idea.
What
did we come here for? Why am I here anyway? Well, recovering from Lyme disease.
I can't believe you had Lyme disease.
I did.
It's a rich man's disease,
dude. It is. It's a country club disease.
He's got your Connecticut manse. Mm-hmm. But we are talking about summertime, so I thought we'd play one of my favorite summertime songs and just give it a spin.
What's it called?
Summertime by the Troggs.
Oh, banned, I love the Troggs.
Banned by the BBC. So, Matt, give it a twirl. You're listening to Arts and Seizures. We'll be back in a second right after this hot biscuit by the Troggs.
Summer fun's dry.
Wear the dresses so low you can see the sun on their tan skin. I like the summertime when the girls wear the dresses so high you can see the sun on their faces. But it's summertime. I like a discotheque when the music's getting heavy and the girls get hot and the suntan body starts shaking.
The summertime, banned by the BBC, but not by Heritage Radio Network.
Rest in peace, Reg Presley.
This is a very Mike Edison song.
You know, Reg was the greatest, because if you go see the Troggs, he was like the most macho front man like of all time.
Lascivious.
And he'd be lascivious and like not just coming on to every girl in the room, but coming on to every guy in the room too. Like my buddy Mike Maricondo of the Ronchettes, we went to see him one time and he looked at me and he was frozen. He had all the color drained from Mike's face. He said, "Mike, what's wrong?" He goes, "Reg Presley just made eye contact with me. I don't know what to do. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do." The Troggs is obviously most famous for
with it.
Wild thing. We went to see them one time. I think at a Lone Star Cafe, and it was packed, and you know that all the garage rock fans, our friends were there, and then it was so great. And we went to see them the next night at some joint in Brooklyn, and literally there were two people there. It was like me and one other fellow, and they did their show for us. That was it. But afterwards, they were like, "Come on back," and they each sort of had like a bottle of scotch in their bags, and that's when the UFO stories started coming out. You know, Reg.
We went to see them.
Claimed that he had been abducted.
One of their first comebacks in New York in the 70s.
Max's.
They came back. Yeah, Max's.
They made that great live at Max's.
Oh, it's great. And Reg was doing the thing. He was wearing this really long ascot-y scarf and pulling it out and stroking it as he sang to the girls. So our sax player
and boys
and our sax player wound up after the show hanging out with Reg Presley well, basically all night drinking at Max's because they play, they let him stay. And so Gordon came back and he says, well, I asked Reg, you know, how come you don't have any of these hits anymore? This is like 77 or something. And Reg said, well, how many ways can I say I want you to suck my dick?
There was that great Lester Bangs story, right? Which, if I recall correctly,
I'm sorry, was
called James Taylor Marked for Death, but was actually all about the drugs. And that's it. Which he revealed that basically these were all very, very rapey songs. You know, like I tell you, that song 654321. He said I assumed it was a telephone number, like the Wilson Pickett song, like the Marvelettes. He goes, but it was actually just Countdown to Penetration.
That's
and that was the drugs. It was like rape disguised as bubblegum. Well, by the way, I just want to say that here at Arts and Seizures, we're against rape. Okay, always. Very progressive, liberal. We were against rape. We were against air pollution. We were against racism in most cases. We were a very, very liberal show.
That was quick. That was quick. Oh. You'll never know how much I really love you.
So, well, you're actually like
you brought your lawyer today, Mike. What's going on?
No, we were talking, but Blaine is a very good lawyer. He's a corporate litigator. He's the kind of guy that you do not find him on the back pages of the Village Voice and the hippie lawyer section. He's the real deal. You can trust this guy. The guy sues defense contractors. Like I said, he's kept me out of jail, which is no little feat. But what I am fascinated about, what we're talking about, is shyster lawyers. I'm really interested, in the guys that ambulance chasers. This to me is a very interesting line of work that if it didn't take 3 years to graduate from law school, I'd probably go into myself. How do I sue Pete, who's obviously, he's hurt my feelings greatly.
Indigent.
I think I deserve $1.6 million, I'm thinking is the number I'm looking for.
Well, you have to understand one thing, that the difference between, as you call, a shyster lawyer and other lawyers, such as what I do, is that we have a very different philosophy. A shyster lawyer goes out there and looks for that quick, fast buck. It's kind of a holdup. You know, me, on the other hand, I just am out there to rip my opponent's face off.
I've seen him.
And that's a difference.
It's not pretty.
Yeah, pit bull.
He's a lawyer. Dude. But I the quick holdup, though, I'm very interested. Like I said, when you read in the paper every day, it's like, oh, you know, so you know, somebody made it a pass at me in the kitchen, you know, because obviously the sexism
and
Me
Too,
the food
themselves.
Business is so good. Well, okay. Listen, they sue for $1.6 million, and obviously someone should be getting paid out, and there should be people who behave like that should be penalized and smacked around, but I don't think you get to retire because someone made a pass at you.
Well, actually, I got to correct you a little bit here. There's this whole doctrine in the law, stray remarks. It's also, stray spankings, those are kind of accepted.
Stray spankings.
Stray spankings.
I'm going to strayly spank all of you fucking motherfuckers there.
Now, the problem is you might make it a regular habit, and then it's no longer stray.
I see. Still, nonetheless, I want to sue Pete. 1.6 is the number I'm looking for.
Keep looking. Keep looking, Mikey. I admire it, though. I admire that. We were sued by our manager. I won't mention the name, but we were sued, and we were in the middle of making a record called Hexbreaker, which was... A book could be written about the making of Hexbreaker.
I think a book actually was written about the making of Hexbreaker.
Well, just a whole book just on that. But anyhow, it got to the point where the process servers were coming after us, and they were waiting outside of the recording studio. And we couldn't leave the studio, and we stayed there for 2.5 days.
Where was the studio?
It was in Midtown Manhattan.
Okay, that's the problem, because you can't have a shotgun in that particular kind of studio. If you were upstate, then that solves your problem.
That's true. No, we weren't at Bearsville, so and at one point I had to leave, so I had to disguise myself as a delivery boy, and I was nailed. But anyway.
Well, Blaine told me when I was seriously concerned when I wrote my first book, I Have Fun Everywhere I Go, that I was going to be sued, that someone was going to be litigious from High Times, even though, not from High Times corporate, but like one of the editors who I basically called out as being an incompetent acid head, Wasn't really worried.
No names.
I wasn't really worried I was going to lose.
Got to read the book.
That suit, but these people.
That suit looks pretty good on you, Mike.
But these people were litigious. You never know. And you always told me, Blaine, the time though, when you get served, just be polite. Take the summons and be polite.
Listen, the process server, he's just doing his day job. That's not your enemy. The enemy is the incompetent person that's suing you. And if they're incompetent, you don't have to worry.
That's very inspiring.
Yeah, just take it and deal
with it. I wasted a lot of time dodging that process.
So. I was looking over my shoulder the whole time. This woman came up to the street. That's a strange, weird, middle-aged woman stopped me. She goes, are you Mike Edison? And I go, oh, it's happening.
Well, here you go. Let me just give you a piece of advice. If you ever have to wait outside again, hiding from the process server, I'm not going to put up with that. My process server calls me, says the guy's ducking. I'm like, fine, I'm just going to send him nowadays. I guess I send him an email saying, you take the process server service, or I'm going to go to the judge. I'm going to get an order of publication, and we're going to publish your name wide and far in the New York Post or wherever we need to, saying you're being sued, and that'll be your notice. Up to you.
Wow.
You know, it's just a... Wow. You know, it's sort of that ripping your opponent's face
see
off.
That?
You know, put them in their place
a
little bit.
There's a pit bull. There's a pit bull here.
He's tough. He's very, very tough. I mean, that's what I want John McEnroe to sound like when he announces tennis, like Bruno Sammartino.
He always has an up.
He's tough. He's very tough. He's a very, very, very tough individual.
I don't know.
Is McEnroe still a heel?
Yeah, he is, actually. Yes.
The internet does not know about this McEnroe WrestleMania thing. I think that was a Mike Edison fever dream.
Yeah.
Well, it went right over my wife's head, though, the reference about this guy. Oh, he's waking up from the sleeper hold. It's like, what? That's great. I love this, you know.
This is good. Pete, you look like
don't know what the sleeper hold is, you don't know what the pile drive is, then you need to move to
another
country.
But should the pile driver be banned, Blaine? Should the pile driver be banned?
No, broken necks are a good thing.
Depends on
in context. Depends on who's being who's next.
That's really
broken.
What it's all about. It's all about context.
You know, writing about Yankee bars for the Time Out a long time ago. So I'm hanging out in what they called the Yankee bar in the middle of the day, right? So I'm drinking. That was my modus operandi. I'd hang out, drink, and see what happens, you know? And the Yankee fans would drift in and out, you know? Finally, around lunchtime, two guys come in with wearing suits and a full-scale model of a human spine. Now, were these guys, what kind
coming,
of...
Coming from the courthouse, I imagine, yes, they had some sort of medical malpractice. Was one chunk of the spine missing?
I don't know. I think there was something to illustrate some sort of like, someone is in a neck brace, you know, a client, and then they show the spine or something like that. But I assume that they were not on their way to Yankee Stadium. They weren't like having a pre-game tune-up. Maybe they were. Maybe they bring the spine there. But anyhow,
the only jury trial I ever sat in on. I've never done jury duty either. I've managed to. And I'm willing to do my civic duty, but I did. I was just sort of
you've been
a spectator.
Excluded. Is that what you're trying to tell
us?
Well,
the last time I got called for jury duty, the case was. Oh, it had to do with like Lilco, you know, local power companies and who run Indian Point, you know, nuclear power. And I just said, I'm trying to get out. I said, there's no possible way I am ever going to find in their favor. Okay. I said that right when they said, do you have any, whatever it is, that no possible fucking way. And the judge was like, I'm not hearing this. And he sent me down to civil court. It was
Mike,
a criminal case. He says, Indian... you're not getting out of this that easy. He wrote me a note. He goes, go down to civil court and wait there for 3 days.
Mike, Indian Point, don't you want to read by the light of yourself? I mean, really.
Oh shit!
I have a song. I want.
I think I do glow in the dark, but I
got the blues, baby. I want to.
You
want to
sing the blues?
In a song.
Let's do a song.
Just part of it. Wait.
Is that working for you?
I had to believe in her. She strictly got next to me. I had to believe in her. She strictly got next to me. I'm talking about that little girl of mine. I try to leave her alone, but that she's so good to me. Let me tell you, Mike, believing is all right, just so long as you don't believe in the wrong thing. I said believing is all right, just so you don't belong in the wrong thing, baby. You know she's just as cool in the summer as she is in the spring. Now, don't get mad at my believing. I may be right, I may be wrong. You can't get mad at my believing.
I may be right, I may be wrong. But I had to believe in that girl. She's just as cool in the summer as she is in the spring.
All right. I dig the summertime.
Oh. Awesome, see?
A very mellow show today. I thought you got through the Lyme disease. I thought you were going to be coming back ready to tear it up. We're getting back to cocktail land.
As I said, I'm still waiting to get bit by that tick with the gin disease. So, you know, it's summer. I can have gimlets. But,
well, you know, 246 shows. That's got a certain, numerology to it. It's not really fractals, but, you know, four, six, you know.
That's good. Well, we got to 250. We're going to have a party. That's right. Keep everybody in mind. August 12th is going to be our last show. And, you might be our very last guest because they...
I hate guests.
I know. They're like tapeworms. It's like... They suck you by. It's like,
guests are the worst.
Guests.
God. Ah, Matt.
Look at this fucking guy.
You better be careful insulting your guest in front
my lawyer
of
him. I decided to go for broke
the time you bring a lawyer in. I don't know why.
Watch out, Matt.
Let me tell you, Matt, this guy's kept me out of jail for a long time, knock on wood. There's the least I could do for him. And I say that...
The question is why has he
do
been
you
doing
do that
this?
As a public service? Because I'm not so sure.
Matt,
well, you know, you just better be careful. The next thing
American.
Trump is going to pass as a law, getting rid of lawyer confidentiality, and then you're toast.
Well, he wants. He's always talking about changing the libel laws. You know, I mean, he's a very interesting interpretation of the First Amendment. Look at the incumbent president.
Yeah, well, he's got to get 37 states on board. So I don't think it's, you know. He likes to talk.
He does like to talk that way.
But I do now. I'm going to have to tell my Trump joke. I'm sorry. But
quick.
It's one I think many people haven't.
Quick.
All right. You know, guy's working as a clerk in the Barnes & Noble, the big bookstore. He's at the reference desk. You know, that's the desk people walk up to, and they say, oh, where are the collected works of Shakespeare? And he looks up, bored, and says, oh, down aisle 14. So he's working there one day, head buried in the computer. Someone comes up to him and says, you know, I want the... book by Donald Trump. The guy doesn't look up. He says, yeah, Art of the Deal, you know, over there in fiction, down aisle 10. The guy says, no. I want the new book by Trump. So the clerk looks up, drops his glasses, looks at the guy. He's got a Make America Great t-shirt again, Make America red hat on, and says Trump all over him. So the clerk looks at him and says, get the fuck out of here. And the guy says, yeah, that's the book.
Oh, okay.
That was good.
You know what?
Lawyer wins.
The
God
lawyer
damn
always,
it.
The lawyer always wins, right? In the end, no matter what the suit is, the lawyers win.
Unless you lose and it's on contingency.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Ouch. That one hurt.
You see, that's the shyster lawyer thing. I want to be the shyster lawyer. I want to, like, just like go mad.
That's how you beat a shyster lawyer. You just make them work so hard and they realize they ain't going to make any money and it's over.
But I love, but one time you told me, you said, like, I mean, you know, you work on these, like, large suits. You've got a very, like, long view of this. You work for a great law firm. But you said, like, the guy that's in here every week, like, you know, about someone slipped on the pavement, you know, these ambulance chasing guys. You always said that's the guy you got to worry about because they spend every day in that room.
They try a lot of cases, the good ones do.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, you know what? I've got another song in my heart.
Do you have another song? Is it time to go already?
Yeah, I think I'm looking at the you know what? Sadly, the clock on the wall seems to indicate that our time amongst these wonderful people here.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I'm thinking of Arby Stidham.
Next time, make him give you an hour.
There you go. Right.
All right, we'll discuss that. You have your people call my people.
Drop
I gotta
the papers.
Say, listen, we've been doing the show for over 6 years, 246 shows, come up to 250, which will be the last episode of Arts and Seizures. Don't forget, we're once upon a time with the Mike and Judy show, but that's 7 years of radio. That's a lot. And what have I learned from this experience?
What have you learned?
How to play Let It Be Me.
Arby Stidham. Here we go. That's a good end.
All right, we'll be back next week. We've got four more shows to go featuring the lost Mr. Airplane Man tapes coming up. Our friend Bob Burt's coming back.
Bob?
And
really? How'd you get him?
How do I get him? I called him on the fucking phone.
Bob,
I think, holds the record for most appearances on the show. Yes.
Vive la France. That's what I have to say.
Vive la France. All right, so congratulations
to all our French friends
for that, their Super Bowl victory.
Super Bowl party.
I
saw a picture of my good friend Gaba in Paris having his Super Bowl party. He's in a beer in each hand, and he was smart enough that those were Belgian beers and not French beers. So, Gaba, good thinking. You know, patriotism only goes so far.
Hey, it stops at the water's edge.
That's right.
At the bar's edge. All right, we'll see you guys next week. You ready, Pete?
Yes, sir. Hey.
I know you're getting someone new to love, someone to make you feel happy and free. Darling, I'm begging, I'm pleading, please let it be me. Yeah, you know I treat you like a queen. There'll be no more misery. So if you're wanting love and affection, darling, please let it be me. Oh, take me to the moon. I'll always be true to you in each and every way. I would love, love and care for you. Drive all your blues and troubles away. So darling, please don't pass me by. Darling, open your eyes and see. If you're wanting love and affection, darling, please let it be me.
Oh, Mikey, call me now. Hey.
True to you, come on now, in each and every way. I love, love and care for you. You know I drive all your blues and troubles away. So darling, please, please don't pass me by. Darling, open your eyes and see. If you're wanting love and affection, darling, please let it be me. Let it be me.
All right,
Archer Caesar. All right, everyone. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Mike
Edison.
And our friend Blaine
Borton. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat & 3 is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, there. I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat & 3.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah, and my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.